Selena, I would like for you to share for just a few minutes. How do I say this? There's some things that you and I talked about over the last day or so, you know, just about, you know, some things that the Holy Spirit is trying to help you, you know, let go, right? And not stress. And I just believe that by the Spirit of God that you've learned some things that will be a blessing to the people, and then they can work on this feedback while you share with them.
If there's something that I am starting to learn, is that our striving produces zero.
Come on,
That's good.
And I think ever since I was six, I've been brought up in ministry. So I've seen ministry from many different angles. You know, I don't believe all, because I'm sure there's as many different pastors as there are angles. But I grew up in church, and not just church, but ministry, full-time ministry. And when we came to Birmingham, I was really dealing with a lot of symptoms of near burnout. And that's one of the reasons my husband said, okay, then we are done for a while and we get to go home to Birmingham and just get you healthy. And the Lord's been doing a work in me, and he's really been helping me to see it's not about my striving and my striving to serve him, to please him. And so I think just even over the last few days, a busy weekend's coming up, and I was starting to hyperventilate a little, going, oh my goodness, this calendar's looking way too full, and wait a minute, and, you know, and then, I mean, praise God for an amazing pastor. and I, you know, I called him and I said, okay, I'm struggling with this schedule thing because it's starting to grow a personality of its own. He just said, you know what? You need to remember that you need to do whatever is on your heart to do and what makes you and the family happy, right? Because I can't just think of myself at this point. I have many little ones and a husband that I help and serve. And so I just realized, you know, that's, if I feel like, well, I'm doing all of this and then some, there's resentment in there, and that and then some is not good for us ever. And so I'm starting to find freedom and realizing that the Lord's already pleased with me, regardless of how much or whatever I do. And there's habits that need to be replaced, you know, habits of, okay, not only that, I'm a type A personality, so I'm driven, okay, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to have it done by yesterday, and it's going to be perfect the first time. So I'm battling some of these things too, just recognizing, wait a minute, it's not about my striving. It's not about that at all. It's about me finding freedom and drinking deeply of him and just recognizing that he already is thrilled with me. He loves me. His grace is ever flowing towards me and through me, and I can do what I can do. And the other thing is, there's no Messiah complex. It doesn't all hang on me, right? And I think that's part of it too. When you find yourself in a situation like that, you think, well, if I'm not there to do this, then who's going to do it? Well, hello, like, tons of people can do it. I'm not the only one that can do certain things. You know, I mean, I do have a calling and a gifting, and the Lord has a plan for me, but it doesn't all ride on one person. That's why the Lord is bringing a team. And that's the body of Christ serving together. So, I mean, I could ramble all night, but that is something that I am definitely learning, especially this week. So, amen.
Thank you. So let's look at Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, It's a very similar story to Selena in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, I'm going to read that in the Amplified version. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy. Let me read that again. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and to do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But there is need of only one thing. King James says, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, or that one thing, and it shall not be taken away. We can get overly occupied and too busy about doing things for God. We can serve in different capacities. We can step into, Selena wears a lot of different hats in her family. She's got to be mama. She's got to be wife. You know, they're living with her mother-in-law. She's got to help out in that capacity. She is graciously chosen to help out with praise and worship here. There's a lot of different hats. And you can get so busy putting on the different hats that you forget that the most important thing is the one hat, and that's the helmet of salvation, and that's the Word of God. Amen. And that you stay in your relationship with Him. If any time you become so overly occupied and so overly busy and too busy that you become distracted. See, Martha felt like that in this moment, here comes the prophet. Here comes Jesus into her home and his disciples and all the people with them. So she felt like that it was her responsibility to take care of everybody else. Now, here she had the man of God. Maybe she didn't have a revelation that it was the Son of God, but she had the prophet of God in her house. And because she felt like it was her responsibility to serve everybody, she chose to serve instead of receiving from him. And then as she began to serve and as she began to do things, she saw that her sorry, good for nothing sister was sitting over there listening to Jesus and wasn't getting up to help her at all. And so what happened? Resentment set in. Anytime that you begin to compare your service to God to those who aren't serving like you are, you have set yourself up to be a Martha, not a Mary. Your serving God must be between you and God alone. It doesn't matter if I look over here and I see Melanie or if I see Courtney or somebody like that, you know, doing something different or not doing anything for that matter. If I allow myself to start judging her for what she is doing or not doing, then what I have just done is I've taken myself out of the grace of God, and I begin looking at my own works and my own labor and start trying to gain favor. She expected that because of everything that she did, that Jesus was going to be very pleased with her. Look at what I'm doing. And Jesus complimented and pointed to the fact that Mary said, you know what? You guys are on your own when it comes to food. I've got the prophet of God here. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to the word because, and Jesus knew this. He had already said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mary had caught on to that. And so what Martha should have done is, I mean, she could have put out some coffee or something like that and said, look, y'all go help yourselves. Now I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to the word. You know, the very person that had fed the 5,000, the very person that had fed the 4,000, he was there. Listen, the Spirit of God had me on Sunday morning start talking about believing him. Man, I'm not teaching anything that God told me that I thought I was going to teach tonight. Glory to God. Listen, check this out. After Jesus fed the 5,000, and so some things happened over in the book of Matthew, and he stepped into the boat with his disciples and the storm arose and they went to him, Master, you know, do you not care that we perish? And all of this kind of thing. You know, people, we get so focused on ourselves. Martha was, poor me, poor me. Jesus, don't you care? The disciples are like, poor me, poor me. Jesus, don't you care? We're so focused on ourselves, we forget that Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always there to take care of whatever it is that you need. And so in the process of talking to them, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, the disciples weren't very smart. They couldn't get some of these spiritual truths sometimes. And they're like, beware of the leaven, and leaven being yeast, you know, beware of, is he talking about bread? What's going on here? And so finally it's like, I don't know what he means. I don't know what he's talking about. He must be saying this because we didn't bring any bread with us. That was their reasoning. I don't know how they got that, but that was their reasoning. And Jesus, like, why? I'm not even talking about that. He said, do you not remember? Now listen, do you not remember the feeding of the 5,000? It had just happened. But here's the thing. The disciples looked at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 as a one-time event, a miracle that happened once in a lifetime. They did not recognize that the one who created the miracle was always there with them. They did not allow themselves to get to a place where they would believe that he was always going to supply their need. It's like if God fed the 5,000 one time and I've got Jesus right here in the boat with me, then I don't need to worry about it. I'll just cast my hook over the side. I'll get me a fish that'll come right up and then he can multiply it right there in this boat. Do not look at the miracles that have taken place in your life as one-time events. God doesn't do miracles for you to look back on them and think, man, I remember when he did that. God never intended for a believer to go from miracle to miracle to miracle, and every now and then we'll have a testimony as to what God has done in our life. And for some of us that happens once every couple of years, and for some of us once every 5 years or so. And that's not what God ever designed for the believer. Jesus is with us. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Let your conversation, and he's talking about your lifestyle. When it says conversation, it's not just what you say, although it includes what you say. But it's talking about your lifestyle. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Now, why are we content with what we have? Luke chapter 12, he says, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have a never-ending supply that is working our way. So why do I need to look at what I have or what I don't have as if that there's lack in my life? Or why do I need to compare what I've got to somebody else and wish that I had that when God's already given me the kingdom? See, I can be content with where I am spiritually, knowing that He's going to supply my need and He's going to give me the desires of my heart. For He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I mean, look at the intent. We should just be content because, man, we got the supplier right there. We've got the one who multiplied the bread, who multiplied the fishes right there with us. And He will never forsake us. The Amplified reads this way. "For He," God Himself, "has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not." It's definite. There's no gray in this. This is black and white. This is what God has said. And so the writer of Hebrews says this in verse 6. "So that we may boldly say," oh, hallelujah, glory to God. "So that we may" what? "Boldly say, the Lord is my helper." In other words, I'm at a place that I know that God is with me. God is in me. God is with me everywhere that I go. And I may boldly say, I don't care who it is, I may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me." You know, Abraham illustrates this perfectly. He went and delivered his nephew Lot and the surrounding cities from this king, this army that had come in. And so Abraham took his own servants and he won the victory. And the king came out and was so thankful that he had won this victory that he said, "Listen, just give me my people back. You can have all the silver and the gold." Now, most of us would say, "Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. The Lord has supplied my need. Look at what has happened because of the victory." Do you know what Abraham said? He said, "I don't want so much as a shoelace." That's right. Because I don't want any man to be able to say that he made Abraham rich. God is the one that has made me rich. He knew that his supply came from God, that God was the one that would cause him to prosper. God said, "I will bless you." God said, "I will bless them that bless you." He knew that he was operating under the blessing of God. Turn with me over to Psalm 91. As we turn there, let me tell you a little story. Today, well, let me ask you a question. How many of you hate it when you get a knock on the door at your house and it's either a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon that wants to witness to you? What do you do in those situations? What'd you say? Let's talk. I know some people's like, "I'm just going to be real quiet, be real still. I'm not going to open the door because I don't want to get into a conversation with them." Because I, what?
Don't bark, dogs.
Yeah, dogs stay away, that sort of thing. Because I don't want to deal with it. Because I don't know that I can convince them anyway. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, you can't. But I don't think that way. I love it when they show up. And so today, today, we went shopping, and I hate shopping, but we went shopping, and as we pulled into the parking place, these two young gentlemen were coming to their car. And I noticed on the tag, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I went, oh, here we go. And so they said, hi, sir, how are you? I said, I'm doing well. How are you? Doing fine. They started to get in the car, and then one of them said, do you mind if I share with you a message that'll change your life? I said, do you mind if I share with you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And somebody said, you didn't say that. Yes, I did. And they said, yeah, you know, we believe in that. No, you don't. You don't believe in that. But, you know, I'm helping you so that you understand, you know, what their approach is. If they continue to agree with you, then what they believe is that as they agree with you, is it will open you up to receive from them. Okay? So they're agreeing with me, you know, all over the place. And so they started talking a little bit. I said, listen, guys. I said, I appreciate your passion. I mean, I really do. Hey, these guys are passionate, you know? I said, I appreciate your passion. But let me talk to you about something. Are you seeing healings happening in your ministry? Are you seeing the power of God? Well, yeah, you know, we have healings going on, you know. I said, because, you know, the Bible says, and I started preaching to them, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing the works of Jesus? Because if you're going to go out and evangelize, it's not by teaching them your doctrine. Because Paul said that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So are you seeing healings? Oh, yeah, we agree with that. We see healings and stuff. I said, you're seeing that in your church? Well, you know, our church, it's a big church, you know, and it's, but it's happening in our church. I said, but are you, I'm asking, have you seen healings? See, they want to try to keep, make it personal. Make it personal. I said, because in our church, let me tell you about some healings that have taken place. Let me tell you about the people that have, their lives are being set free by the power of God. Glory to God. I said, that's what needs to happen in your life. And if it's not, and I said, and I'm going to tell you something. Most churches, including the Mormon church, doesn't believe what I'm telling you. Now, here's my website, www.lifeoffaithchurch.org. Go and check it out sometime. And with that, they went on their way. That's how you handle a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. You share the gospel with them. The Bible says that we should always be ready to give an answer for that. I'm not going to sit there and let them fill me with what they're doing, because I've got life on the inside of me. I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I've got something they need, not that they have something that I need. Glory to God. And so I'm going to teach them something. And if the body of Christ will rise up and will start demonstrating what God has said that they will do, then you'll have no problem bringing even the Mormons to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Psalm 91. Listen, there is a lot that is going on in the news right now. I mean, the news is always bad. But particularly right now, we're hearing about things around the world, and they are really trumpeting the alarm on this Ebola virus that they say could become an epidemic. And just so that you know, there are demonic forces behind viruses and things like that that can give life in that sense, as they spread from place to place. And so the way that they feed is on the fear of the people. And so that as the news gets out and as people start listening to it, what it does is it creates fear and it makes them susceptible to it. And if they don't watch it, it will become an epidemic because they're speaking it with the words of their mouth and people are starting to believe it. And it's going to continue to get worse until somebody will take their place and put a stop to it. Now, anytime that you read the Old Testament, always read it through New Testament eyes. Okay? So, for instance, in the beginning, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, in the past, when I've read this or when I've taught this, I've taught it more from a this is what David was saying than I was from a New Testament perspective. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that means that I need to dwell. I would preach it from the standpoint, I need to dwell in the secret place. I need to make sure I spend time in the secret place of the Most High. And it's important that we're spending time with God. But the New Testament reality is he will never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus Christ now lives on the inside of me. I am in the secret place of the Most High all the time. I don't have to take time out of my busy schedule. To go and spend time with him. That is my position. I have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can't get any closer to the Most High than where I am right now. Glory to God. So it's not about me having to get to a place. It is I am at that place and to recognize who I am in Christ Jesus. Man, I don't know if you're getting happy, but I'm getting happy. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So if God could cast a shadow, I am under that shadow. It is my position. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely, not maybe, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Notice verse 2, it says, in him will I trust. Notice verse 4, it says, under his wings shalt thou trust. He's talking about believing some things. Somebody say believe. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what sickness tries to come your way. I don't care what's going on in your body. I don't care what's going on in your finances. These circumstances are simply what we call facts. It is what the natural is at this moment. But there is something that supersedes the facts that we see. Everything that you see here, the seat that you're sitting on, everything that you see in this building, everything that we see in the natural was created by something else. It was created by the word of God. And Hebrews chapter 1 says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And in him, Jesus, the word, all things consist. All things exist. All things work together. So what that tells me is there are some things that supersede what I can see. The raw material behind this is not fabric and metal and all of that. It is the word of God. And the very thing that created all of this, what did Jesus call the word? He said, thy word is. So his truth shall be your shield. His truth shall be your buckler. In other words, whatever's happening in my life, I'm going to speak that which is true, not that which I can sense with my five senses. I'm going to speak what God has said about my situation. I'm going to speak what my position is in Christ Jesus. And as I speak truth, it becomes a shield and it will stop the attack of the enemy in my life. But I will tell you this, many people have stopped speaking truth because what they feel is more real to them than what God has said. What they see with their eyes is more real than what God has said. And we have developed the habit of speaking those things even when they don't line up with what our position is in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible tells me this. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says that by his stripes I was healed. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and he healed me. He sent his what?
Word
and he healed me. He sent it. He sent truth into my life and he healed me. Now I have a choice. I can stay a natural man. And I can say what's going on makes me feel like a natural man. Jennifer says, no, you did not just do that. You make me feel. But even notice that word. You make me feel like a natural. Y'all can sing the rest of it. As a believer, I'm not a natural man. I'm not a natural woman. It's you make me know I'm a supernatural man. Come on, Derek, sing it for me. Come on, man, you can do it right. Come here. Stand up. Come on. Hey, you got the pipes, man. Do it. You make me know I'm a supernatural man.
You make me know I'm a supernatural man.
Come on. I can't do it justice. It's not what I feel. It's not what I see. It's not what I hear. It's what I know. It's what I believe. Truth overrides the facts in your life. But are you willing to believe that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's go on. So what are you trusting in? I'm trusting in what thus saith the Lord. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, verse 5. So at night, I don't have to be afraid. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. At night, I don't have to be afraid for what's going on in my neighborhood. I don't have to be afraid for what my next door neighbor's doing. I don't have to be afraid for what the crime rate is. I don't have to be afraid for what they're saying is going on out there, because the sleep of the beloved in Christ Jesus shall be sweet. Glory to God. Why do we have trouble sleeping at night? I know you don't. I've tried to call you before. I woke you straight up. Why do we have trouble sleeping? Why do people have trouble sleeping? Because they're not resting in what thus saith the Lord. They're concerned about everything going on in their life. Nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. This is some bad stuff. Look at verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Saints, take this word tonight. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care what they say about viruses and about sickness and diseases. You've got to take your place as a son and a daughter of God and say, I am in the secret place of the Most High. There shall no evil befall me. Glory to God. It shall not come near me. Now look, let's go on down, because verse 9, because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. This is where you dwell. This is where you live. Because you've done this, verse 10, there shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any Ebola virus come near your dwelling. Oh, but some people are just like, well, you just never know. You don't know what's going to happen. Well, if you don't know, I know what's going to happen to you. Because the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says that we have been destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Now, you have a choice. You can know what the Word of God has said about your situation. And you can decide that I'm going to step out and I'm going to believe what God has said. And I'm going to sleep well at night and I'm not going to worry during the day, because I've got God with me at every situation. The one who healed the sick, the one who supplied the need, the one who created bread, the one who did everything, the one who raised the dead. That's the one that lives on the inside of me. And I trust that he has me taken care of. And I can boldly say, like it says in Hebrews 13, that the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. I won't fear what they say is going to happen. I won't fear what man will do to me. I can be in a place of faith. Now look, the rest of the chapter is just as powerful. But that's where the Lord wants me to stop. As we learn about truly how to believe God, it is going to create in you a boldness to start proclaiming some things. The reason why people have backed off of speaking things is because they've stopped believing. They've said things, they've spoken things, they've witnessed to people, they've done things, and they've not seen the results, and so they've just backed off. Saints, not today. It's no more. We're not backing off from what thus saith the Lord. We are going to do what God has said. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Father, I thank you that as we step out in faith, as we believe what our position is in Christ Jesus, as we choose to believe what your word has said and speak truth in our situation instead of just talking the problem, and we choose to believe you, Father, that the supernatural becomes a way of life for us. We hear your voice every day. We obey your voice. Father, I thank you for signs and wonders. I thank you for the miracles that you've done in this church and in the people's lives. But I thank you, Father, even more that we're taking this outside of this church, to those that are hurting, to those that don't know. To those that are sick. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.